What if the Bitcoin you know today isn't what its creator intended? Imagine discovering that the world's most famous cryptocurrency underwent a fundamental transformation that altered its very purpose. This is the explosive claim at the heart of hijacking Bitcoin. The book reveals how a small group of developers dramatically changed Bitcoin's trajectory, turning what was designed as a revolutionary payment system into something entirely different. The story isn't about technical limitations, but human decisions, power struggles, and competing visions about what digital money should be. As cryptocurrency adoption grows worldwide, this pivotal chapter in Bitcoin's history becomes essential reading for anyone seeking to understand the future of money. Bitcoin began with a clear purpose: electronic cash that worked like email for money, fast, cheap, and accessible to anyone with internet. Satoshi Nakamoto's white paper emphasized online payments without trusted third parties, designing Bitcoin for everyday micropayment range transactions where users could effortlessly pay a few cents to a website as easily as dropping coins in a vending machine. Early Bitcoin development focused on commerce tools, merchant interfaces, point-of-sale systems, and transaction solutions. Marketing compared it to Western Union, highlighting global transfers for just 0.1 cents. The 2013 Bitcoin Wiki claimed the system could handle millions of users and tens of thousands of transactions per second. Satoshi referenced payments four times more frequently than store of value concepts, clearly positioning Bitcoin as a payment system rather than the digital gold it's often portrayed as today. This transformation stemmed from the 1 megabyte block size limit, added in 2010 as a temporary safeguard against denial of service attacks. This limit allowed 7 transactions per second, sufficient then, but never intended as permanent, as Gavin Anderson, Satoshi's successor, explained. Core developers refused to increase the block size limit despite technological improvements, believing full blocks and high fees were desirable. Greg Maxwell even declared, "Full blocks is the natural state of the system," and celebrated when fees reached $25 in December 2017. This decision fundamentally altered Bitcoin's economic model. Miners would eventually rely on high transaction fees rather than high volume with low fees as Satoshi intended. It's comparable to email providers suddenly charging $20 per message, undermining its revolutionary potential. The Bitcoin narrative gradually shifted from digital cash to store of value. As late as 2016, most Bitcoiners still promoted it as magic internet money and celebrated merchant adoption. After the 2017 fee spike made small payments impractical, BTC proponents pivoted. If Bitcoin is primarily a store of value, high fees become acceptable. Users are now encouraged to buy and hold indefinitely, creating artificial scarcity that drives price increases. Yet cryptocurrency's true value potential comes through real-world utility, not high fees that reduce usability. Some maximalists like Saifedean Ammous represent extreme digital gold thinking, envisioning a future where regular people use Bitcoin-backed tokens issued by online banks, ironically recreating the banking system Bitcoin was designed to replace. Bitcoin maximalists advocate for secondary layers like the Lightning Network rather than base layer solutions for everyday payments. Despite being promoted as Bitcoin's scaling solution, Lightning has fundamental flaws preventing mainstream adoption. Lightning's core problem is its reliance on on-chain transactions for opening and closing payment channels. With high fees, channel creation becomes prohibitively expensive. Lightning's own creator admitted global adoption would require 133 megabyte blocks, far exceeding Bitcoin's 1 megabyte limit. Paul Stork calculated that even using 90% of block space for channel opening would onboard just 0.82% of the world population yearly, requiring 120 years for global adoption. Lightning also demands users run constantly online nodes or risk losing funds. If a node goes offline, counterparties can broadcast old channel states to steal funds. Payments require finding complete paths with sufficient liquidity at every hop. If any channel lacks funds, the payment fails. These problems inevitably push Lightning toward centralization with a hub-and-spoke model. These central hubs, run by easily regulated companies, create censorship points and vulnerabilities, exactly what Bitcoin was designed to prevent. Bitcoin's radical transformation succeeded through sophisticated censorship. The main discussion platforms, bitcointalk.org, r/Bitcoin subreddit, and the Bitcoin Wiki, were all controlled by one person, Thymos. In August 2015, Thymos banned all Bitcoin XT discussions, an implementation supporting larger blocks, boldly stating, "If 90% of r/Bitcoin users find these policies to be intolerable, then I want these 90% of r/Bitcoin users to leave." The suppression escalated beyond censorship. Mining pools and hosting companies supporting larger blocks faced DDoS attacks. As the narrative battle intensified, Bitcoin.org owner Cobra even proposed altering Satoshi's white paper, claiming it was outdated. When industry players attempted compromise through the New York Agreement, where 58 companies representing 83% of hash power agreed to implement SegWit, followed by a 2 MB increase, core supporters launched aggressive campaigns against participants. Under fake reviews, email bombing, DDoS attacks, and harassment, the agreement eventually collapsed. In August 2017, Bitcoin Cash forked from Bitcoin Core to preserve Satoshi's vision of peer-to-peer electronic cash. This fork addressed the block size constraint and restored multiple aspects of Satoshi's original design that had been altered or disabled. Bitcoin Cash removed the controversial 1 MB block size limit, reactivated several of Satoshi's original opcodes that Core had deactivated, and eliminated replace by fee, RBF, to make zero confirmation transactions more reliable for merchants. The scaling achievements have been impressive. With a 32 MB block size limit in production, researchers have successfully mined a 1 GB test block, demonstrating potential for massive on-chain scaling. A Raspberry Pi 4 verified a 256 MB block in under 2 minutes, supporting Satoshi's claim that it never really hits a scale ceiling. Unlike small block approaches requiring high fees for security, BCH's model relies on high transaction volume with minimal fees. Economic projections suggest miners could earn billions annually through transaction fees with widespread adoption, maintaining network security without prohibitive individual costs. We stand at the beginning of a monetary revolution powered by blockchain technology, arriving as traditional financial systems struggle with inflation, inequality, and eroding trust. The political establishment's reaction to Bitcoin acknowledges its revolutionary potential. While traditional banking relies on fee-extracting intermediaries, Satoshi envisioned a peer-to-peer system that bypasses these gatekeepers entirely. Creating truly accessible digital cash requires more than elegant code. It needs a network of users, merchants, and developers committed to decentralization. Understanding Bitcoin's potential requires recognizing that value is subjective, existing in human minds rather than material goods. A store of value has a consistent history of being valued by humans. Money functions well as a store of value precisely because it serves as an exchange medium. After all, what good is gold if you can't eventually use it? The coming years will determine whether cryptocurrency fulfills its revolutionary promise or becomes co-opted by the institutions it was designed to disrupt. Will we embrace genuine financial freedom or settle for a digital recreation of the same banking system? The choice is ours.